You know, there's not a lot of people here, right, today? but I don't know. I was just feeling, I'm laughing about it, but I'm just feeling God's going to do, he's going to be doing some amazing things. And I was actually just laughing about it. Like, you know, because when you look at things with your eyes, you know, you can get discouraged. But I don't know. I just don't feel that. I don't feel discouraged today at all. As a matter of fact, I'm feeling hopeful. I am. I'm not lying either. I'm telling you the truth. And I also want to share this too. Like, I mean, man, the worship was so awesome. You know, it's a shame there are power people to hear it, but I mean, you could be discouraged too and not worship like that. I mean, that was like powerful worship. And I'll tell you, sometimes when I'm like at places like Bethel and there's like thousands of people and you're up in the front worshiping and that awesome worship band's there, you know, I think to myself as I'm worshiping there, I feel the same time when I'm here at Urban Mission where I do. It doesn't matter that I don't need to be at a place like that with thousands of people worshiping or, you know, praising God. I feel the presence of God like here just as much. And it like when I close my eyes when I worship, I don't like, I'm sometimes I open it up so I know the words, right? But it doesn't matter where I am. It really doesn't matter where I am. I feel the presence of God here. I'm with believers. I mean, it's like an awesome thing, special thing when you're with thousands of people, right? Worshiping God from all over the world. I mean, that's a special thing. But I do think to myself, and it is a pretty amazing thing like that. So I just want to, you know, thank the worship team for worshiping like that this morning. I don't know how you guys felt, but I felt like it was pretty powerful, and it really fed to my soul. Oh, the other thing I want to share with you guys, too. So me and Ronnie have been on a kick. You know, we've been watching these Netflix things, and we've been, like, watching, like, this, like, the medieval type of things with the Vikings, you know, pillaging places, and there's all these stories about it. But there's also this Christian influence, like, and I don't even know if these people have any faith at all, but they're showing, like, the two different things. They're showing, like, the Viking who are believing God of Thor and all these, like, you know, mystical gods, and they're, like, you know, killing everybody in their path. And then there's these people who are Christians that, you know, are fighting against them and trying to prevent them from taking over their lands. And sometimes there's, you know, we visited other countries, and a lot of times, like, the emperors and empresses, they would have their own little chapel, right? And I was thinking, I kind of felt like that's what it was today. I did. Because they have these very wealthy people. They would have their own church, and they would have their own minister that they would pay that would be there only preaching to their family. And I'm like, man, it's like kind of like what we're doing right here today. So, you know, it's a, you know, really, and it is, and I mean, we're impactful. Every one of us are impactful. I know I am, and I know I have impact over a lot of people when I walk through life, you know, and you guys all have impact too, and it's amazing the impact that we have. But what I wanted to share today, that's a nice picture, isn't that, you know? I always think about, whenever I'm feeling stressed, I always think of Psalm 23, the still waters and the green pastures, and I try to imagine it in my mind. That's kind of like, maybe that's not the way I look at it, because that's pretty awesome. I think of like a pond or something like that, you know, when still, wouldn't it be so peaceful, sitting on a green pasture, overlooking it? But wouldn't it be awesome if we really lived in a state of peace at all times? You know, Sue was talking about that a little bit today, you know, going through stress at work and everything like that. You know, wouldn't it be awesome if we could, regardless of circumstances, live in a perpetual state of peace and rest? I think that's what God wants us to do. Not a fact. I don't think. I know that's what God wants us to do. Because why? What are you worrying about? What are you anxious about? You know, it's an amazing thing. So would you sign up for this to be living in this? So I want to tell you a story, which you guys probably have heard, but I was reminded of it when I was thinking about this. And know what I was thinking of too? You know, last week we sang that song, I think it was last week, where it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. So it reminded me of this story. Hezekiah. So I'll read this to you because it's probably hard to read. But in 2 Kings 18, right, is the story of Hezekiah. So, you know, a lot of these people, since David was the man after God's own heart, right, after David, there was Solomon. But then, and he kind of went a little sideways, right, Solomon. but he was really very, in the beginning, very faithful. It was the most prosperous time of Israel's, of Israel. But then a lot of his sons, they turned away from God. They started worshiping idols. And, you know, then the same thing happened. And then up until Hezekiah, right? There might have been some other good kings along the way. I don't remember. But there were, like, a lot of idol worship going on. And people completely turned away from God, even after they got delivered out of Egypt, even after God gave them those lands, even after they were prosperous, so prospering so much. And so let me take you to this. So in the third year of, oh, and by the way, there were two kingdoms then, so it was split up with Israel and Judah, right? So Hezekiah was with Judah, so, you know, so you don't get confused when you hear the word Israel. It was another kingdom. They were related, the 12 tribes of Israel, but, you know, they were, it was split up in two. It happened right after Solomon is when it happened. It was Solomon's son. Because of his sin, God split the kingdom up, and, you know, a lot of other things happened. But in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, so that's a king of another part of the world that bordered Judah. Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, who wasn't the nicest king in the world, king of Judah, began to reign. So how does that happen, you know? How does that happen that Ahaz was an evil king, but Hezekiah was a godly man, right? The same way it happened with that testimony you just heard. A guy was raised by an atheist and was in the worst possible circumstance. That's why when I go into prison, I see these guys. I don't look down on anybody there, because I'm like, if I was raised in a broken family with alcoholic or drug addict parents, I would be here too in prison. I mean, you know, that's why I don't look down on people like that. I know that. And there's a chance that they could get redeemed like that guy. And then look what happened to his family. I mean, the whole family and his grandchildren are all serving God. And that blessing, so that psalm that Dave read this morning, that goes, the blessing goes to generations. It's not just a blessing on you. It blesses your children, your children's children. Why wouldn't I sign up for that? Because what's the other option? To live for myself? To, you know, I mean, and then what? You know, I want to leave something that's going to... Yeah, it's eternal. That's gonna be a heritage to my children, not just money, because the kids can blow them $1 million in a second, you know, whatever you leave to them, right? It could be wasted. We've seen stories. We know people who are millionaires who actually blew the everything, and they have nothing now. We personally know people like that, and it was done in a matter of like a year. I mean, it's insane. Money isn't it? Like it says in the scripture, if riches increase, do not trust in them. Trust in God. It's great when you have everything. So he was 25 years old when he became king, Hezekiah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. And it wasn't his father. David wasn't his father. It was his, like, great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, something like that. But they call him like his father because he was a righteous man. He removed the high places. That's where they did idol worship, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. Those were things that they worshiped other gods to. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had burned incense to it. They even took the bronze serpent that God used as a symbol of Christ to heal them, and they worshipped it too. They were worshiping all different types of gods and idols, so far away from God. So he even broke up that snake because people were using it as a idol. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. That's really awesome. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. And then he rebelled against the kingdom of Assyria and did not serve him. So back in that day, there was the kingdom of Assyria, and they were the big guys, and they controlled most of the world over there. So they would ask for, hey, you want to have peace over here? All right, you pay tribute to us. You know, you guys are our servants. That was the relationship they had with Israel and Judah, and he stopped serving them, right? So things were going pretty good. Wouldn't you agree for this guy, right? So things are looking pretty good. And then trials come. So there's not a person in this room that you're not going to have trials no matter what, you know. I mean, we serve God. We expect good to happen, right? We're not expecting trials to happen, but trials happen. I mean, we just heard about things. I mean, your loved ones get older, they pass away, people get sick, you know. There's upturns in economies or downturns in the economy. There's sometimes when it comes to jobs, you know, there's restructuring and things like that, and you could lose your job, right? But things happen sometimes, right? So the fourth year of his reign, so he's 29 years old, this young king, right? The king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported Israel into Assyria. So this is a neighboring kingdom, Israel, which are their brothers and sisters, their relatives, right? They actually got captured, and it's like, here it is. They're on the border of Judah now. And then the 14th year, so this is 10 years after that, this is what happens, and this is really the meat of the story here in the 18th chapter of 2 Kings, verse 13. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. So here they are taking over land and starting to get closer and closer to the center of where Hezekiah was. So Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent his messengers to the king of Assyria at Lachish. I have done wrong. Withdraw from me, and I will pay whatever you demand of me. The king of Assyria exacted from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver, 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace. At this time, Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold with which he had covered the doors and doorposts of the temple of the Lord and gave it to the king of Assyria. So was that a good thing to do? No. So here's what happens, and here's what we do when problems come into our life. A lot of times we try to solve it ourselves, right? So what did he do? He said, I'm going to pay off the king of Assyria. Surely if I give him all this money, he's not going to bother me, right? Because we always know when you pay off somebody who has evil intentions for you, then everything's going to be okay after that, right? That's going to always happen, right? Or if you cave into the temptations that are before you, then the devil's going to leave you alone and you're going to live a nice, peaceful life, right? And the sin that you're caving into is not going to drag you down. It's just going to be okay, and everything's going to be lovely and flower. That's what happens, doesn't it? Well, not exactly. And, you know, you cannot appease your neighbor. I remember going to a men's meeting years ago. I know I shared this with you guys before, but it really, this sometimes things that they stick with you. And the minister, he was making this point, and he was saying, men, you have to make war with your sin. You can't cave into it. It's got to be like a battle. If you're like playing la-di-da, if you're addicted to pornography, and then you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to look at it again, you know, and then I'll be okay. Or if you're addicted to alcohol and you know you can't take another drink, right, if you are an alcoholic, and that's what they tell you not to do, right, and you go and do it anyway, and, oh, yeah, I can handle it, and then you fall back into that. Or if, you know, you abuse drugs, and I'm free of that, but I'll just try it one more time because my friends are putting pressure on me, and they're at the party, you know, and I'll just do some drugs, and then I'll be okay after that, right? That's the lie, that lie of all lies, because you never can, once you pick it back up, you know, that's why they tell you that you just cannot, you know, run away from sin, you know, don't surround it and embarrass it. So the king of Assyria sent his supreme commander, his chief officers, and his field commanders with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. They came up to Jerusalem and stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. So here they are, this huge army encamped outside of, let's say, a walled city, right? So Hezekiah is inside the walled city. The field commander said to them, tell Hezekiah, and by the way, all the people are like sitting on the wall, right? And the commander's like talking to them, right? And Hezekiah didn't come out, but he sent some of his people out there to listen, some of his leaders. And he said, tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have the counsel and the might for war, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look, so he already has been paid off, but the guy wanted more. He wanted to have all the people, everything that Hezekiah had control over. Look, I know you are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff. They must have had some type of alliance with Egypt, but they weren't that strong at that point in time, which pierces the hand of anyone who leans on it. That's pretty good, you think about that, a stick that's splintered, splinters getting into your hand. Kind of good description. Paul, who was trying to make it, but such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. But if you say to me, we are depending on the Lord our God, isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. You know, it was like a little sling back on it. You don't even have 2,000 people you could put on horses. I'd give them to you. So basically he's saying, you know, cave into us, right? And everything's going to be good, right? And this is a good lesson to learn. You know, you cannot appease your, it's not advancing here. Let me see. I'll try this. Hold on for a second. All right. Should I just close it and open it up? No. So one of the things that we can learn right here is that whenever you try to appease something that's going against you, something that you know that's not healthy for yourself, and you give into it, it just doesn't work. So there's always a promise that things will get better if you cave in, if you don't do things God's way. It always looks good on the surface, but then in the end, it winds up to be destruction for you. Things just never seem to work out. You know, the old saying, the grass looks greener on the other side. Well, it isn't greener on the other side. It's just more grass, right? You just got to work. You got to work things through sometimes, right, when you're struggling with something. You got to fight things through. You know, another thing on the side, too, I remember reading a study. It was like a study, I think it was the Wall Street Journal that did this, where they looked at marriages that were in trouble, right? And people were considering divorce. And those that actually divorced and those that stuck it through, years later, they went back to them and said, so how are things? Some of them got remarried, you know, and they still had the same problems they had with the first marriage, right? Those people who stuck it through and went through and kept the marriage, they had happy marriages, most of them. So, you know, just because, you know, you think you're having hardship doesn't mean you shouldn't try to work it through and try to do things God's way. So in verse 31 now it says, do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat much fruit from your own vine and fig tree and drink water from your own cistern until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life and not bread wealth, and do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, the Lord will deliver us. So what they did is they took those that were from Israel and they replanted them into another land. And they're making the same promise. Hey, we'll take you and put you into a really nice place. Things are going to be really great. I mean, does anybody believe that for a second, that that's what would have happened to those people? They would have been enslaved, you know, by them. But this is what, you know, the temptation always does. It always says things are going to be better. If you cave in, things will be better. If you cheat on your taxes, if you do something, you know, if you steal something and nobody will see it, it'll be okay. If you lie just to protect a mistake you made at work, don't worry, nobody will know about it. You know, no, I got to do things God's way. It'll work out, you know, and it always does. So what did Hezekiah do? Do you think he caved? Do you think he, you know, said gave up all the inhabitants of his land and said, okay, we believe you guys are going to take care of us, and here you go. This is what Hezekiah did. He spoke to Isaiah. Isaiah was the prophet at that time. So we're in the next chapter, 19, verse 5. It says, when King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard. Those words which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me, listen, return. When he hears a certain report, I will make him want to return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. So, I don't have the rest of the scripture, so I'm going to tell you the story. What happened is, Hezekiah listened to Isaiah, and he didn't cave into the king of Assyria, even though he was surrounded. You know, so it goes back to that that hymn we were, or that song we were singing last week. Even though I'm surrounded by you. God is surrounds his people, right? He surrounds his people. So what happened is the Assyrians, God just sent an angel and destroyed like about 185,000 of them, just killed overnight. They had no idea how it happened. And then they retreated and went back into their own land. And then the king of Assyria, when he was in a temple worshiping his gods, two of his sons came and killed him. And now he's dead, you know? So you might think that there's situations you can't get out of, but God, he's a redeemer. He takes you out of situations. When you trust in him, he takes you out of situations. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and it was like a prayer meeting. We're doing a prayer meeting through a phone. It was through the Gideons, actually, too. And this one guy, I was just praying prayers for him, and I was like, you know, I was just saying general prayers, and I'm like, you know, God's going to open up doors for you that you don't even know that are open. And then after we were done with the prayer meeting, he goes, you know, that I had a prophetic word spoken to me, and you know what you said was exactly what had happened. His wife is a personal trainer, and she was training some cardinal or bishop or something in a Catholic church, and he actually got his law degree from Seton Hall Law degree, and he said, oh, your husband teaches, he's a professor for at Bergen Community College, and he said, oh, well, you should have him talk to me because we could use some adjunct professors in the law, at Seton Hall Law. I mean, that's the type of things, you know, that you didn't even expect it. It wasn't even anything that he did. He didn't even, like, send a resume there or anything. God just opened up doors for him. But that's just one simple example of how if you put your faith in God, he is faithful. He will not let you go. Things always work together for good, for God's word. That's what it says in God's word, for God's children. You know, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, he will direct your path. He will make your path. He will make it right, and it'll be great. So I want to talk to you about living from a place of peace now that you have, you know, that background. So, yeah, Hezekiah could have caved. I'm sure he felt stressed out, but who did he seek counsel from? He sought counsel from God, from a man of God, or he didn't seek counsel from the buddies, you know, down the street, you know, or somebody else at work who doesn't serve God. And hey, what do you think I should do? Oh, well, you should cave. You should, yeah, trust the king of Assyria. He's a good guy, I heard. Yeah, right. So no, he trusted in God. So what should we do? You might not think you could relate to that situation, but just think of it as trials, any trial. And how am I going to respond to this situation? Am I going to just do what's easy? Am I going to just appease? Am I going to go the way, you know, of the world, or am I going to try to do things God's way? And whenever you do, it works out. So John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So I'll say this stat that I like to say that I heard from listening to Steve Backlund, 85% of the things you worry about never happen. 85% of the things you worry about never happen. Go, just take a look back at your life. You know, think about the things that I could tell you the things that I worried about, and they have never happened. What a waste of time! What a way to tie yourself up in knots, right? It's amazing. So God, Jesus is telling, don't let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. So I put together this list of peace killers, things that kill peace. So everybody say boo to this. Say, boo, peace killers, boo. So one of the peace killers is living with regret. Always going back to your past. But I messed up royally in my past. I messed up royally. And always going back to that. But I did this. But I did that. Or, you know, maybe you didn't have a supportive parent, you know, who spoke negative words over you. Like that testimony we heard where the mother said, you know, at age 21, you're going to be in prison or you're going to be dead, right? So, you know, don't go back to the past mistakes. Because when God cleanses you, What does he say? Your sins are as far as the east is from the west, and he makes you whiter than snow. Don't keep on going back to that. And you speak to it, too, when it comes into your mind. If you say, yeah, but you did this in your past. I have been forgiven, and Jesus said, my sins are whiter than snow. I am white as snow. I am cleansed. You know, so don't let those things come back to kill your peace. Throw them in the garbage where they belong. Not believing that God forgave you is another thing that's a peace killer. Holding on to past hurts. Somebody, oh, but you don't know what they did. You don't know what they did. You don't understand how hurt I am. You just have no idea. Well, you need to forgive hurt. You don't need to forgive them for them. You need to forgive them for you. You know, when you forgive people that hurt you, it frees you up. You know, that's on them. I'm not holding that anymore. I forgive them. Doesn't mean there aren't consequences for what people did. Doesn't mean you have to be best friends with the person who hurt you. But what it does mean is you have to forgive and move on, because that is like a chain on you. It's like a rope that's binding you up, and it's keeping your peace because it's always up here in your mind. Heeding bad advice. You know, people giving you bad advice. How do I know I'm getting good advice? Well, there's a couple ways. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God, right? Does it line up? Talk to godly people. If you're getting advice from non-godly people, guess what you're going to get? Non-godly advice. It's not surprising. And it might sound good on the surface, and it might be what the majority of people are doing, but it never works out in the end, and it will kill your peace. You might get past that situation, but if you don't do it in the right way, you're going to have that kind of stirring up inside of you. Worrying that things won't work out. I mean, does anybody ever do that? Anybody here besides myself ever do that? I don't know if it's going to work out. You know, I can't tell you how many times I worried about, like, my job, right? And I've been working now, like, what, over 30-something years? I still have a job. I worried about, right? I mean, it's stupid if you think about it. But it's stupid worrying about all that stuff. And I'm going to get to this at the very end. Of what it really is, right? It's not just stupid. It's even worse than that. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that. So always, you know, knowing. It's the knowing that things will work out. Negative self-talk. Oh, I can't do it. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. I don't know. I'm not like that other person. I can't do that. You know, well, you know, the scripture says, you know, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's good for Dave, but it's not good for me. It's not going to work out for me because it's just too hard. I just don't think I'm not as smart as this other person. I'm not as gifted as this other person. You know, that is not helpful. It's more helpful to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God put this on my heart, and I believe it's God. And people even said, I have this gift, so why wouldn't I try to live in it, right? Not believing God's promises apply to you, like I just said. They apply to somebody else, not to me. I believe God could heal, you know, somebody else, but I don't believe God can heal me. So those are peace killers. So now, let's go to the positive and look at peace builders. Say yay. 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 Peace builders. I want to build up my peace. Knowing who you are in Christ. Living like a prince and princess. You know, we forget sometimes that we are God's children. And if you're God's children, you know, everything, you got everything that God wants for you, you know. The peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind. That's what is promised to a child, a God. It's a promise. Do you believe God's promises apply to you? You know, it's a good question. Ask yourself that. You know, do you really believe it? Then start living like you are a prince and a princess, because you are. Knowing that God washed you completely as a peace builder. Having Godfidence. I know Jeremy has a shirt like this. That's where I got this from, Jeremy. I see you wearing it. First time I read it, I'm like, what does that say? Oh, Godfidence. God, what is that? Oh, Godfidence means confidence in God, right? And it's a really good thing. So that's why you get the assist on this one. You have Godfidence. That's a peace builder. I have confidence in God. I remember listening to this preacher years ago, and he said, what's faith? Faith is risking the situation on God. Think about that. Faith is risking the situation on God. You know what I do this. I try to do this more and more. I especially do it whenever I get on an airplane, right? Because, you know, a lot of people get worried when you get on an airplane. You know, oh, what's going to happen? You know, hey, once they close the doors of that airplane, right, I have zero control And I'm like, God, I am in your hands. I am not stressing out over this. I know where I'm going to go if anything happens, but it's even safer than driving a car. So you know, that's where my confidence is. You know, things will always work out. You know, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are called according to his purpose. Do you love the Lord? Then all things will work out. Isn't that what it says in God's word? Do you believe that? Yeah. So then let's start living like that, right? Imagine that. Imagine what that looks like. Imagine that. I want to live more like that, you know? And I'm making strides, you know, thanks to all of you guys and everything that I've learned since I've been coming here. But I know I need to do more of it, and I want to do more of it. Build yourself up with positive self-speak. You know, I'm a child of God, right? God's got my back. I'm protected. I have higher levels of protection. Jesus washed me with his blood. He covered me with his blood. I am protected, you know, from this situation. I could walk into any situation. As a matter of fact, I'm a thermostat. I could change the temperature in a room, you know, just by me being in there, because I've got God living on the inside, right? Everybody's talking negative. I could talk positive. People thinking everything's going to be bad. I think everything's going to be good. I think the future is bright. I don't know about you, but I do. You know, what good is it to think that things are going to go wrong? Tell me. I tell you what, it's a superstitious thing. It is. I was raised that way. Sorry to say that, but even though I was raised in the church, I was raised to expect things to go wrong instead of expect things to go good. What, you know, always worried about the worst thing that could happen if I try to do this. What's the worst thing that, you know, you could walk outside the house, you're going to get hit by a car when you cross the street, you know. It's the craziest thing, as opposed to, you know, God's going to bless me everywhere I go, you know, because I'm God's child. It's a different way of thinking, and it's a way to renew your mind. So believe God's promises and know they are for you. So we're called to peace. That's what it says in Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, the whole heart. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Now look at the Amplified version. I put the same thing over here. It's kind of interesting to look at the Amplified a lot of times. Let the peace of Christ, and it says, what's the peace of Christ look like? The inner calm of one who walks daily with him. That's a pretty good explanation, isn't it? You walk daily with the Lord. You have peace inside of you, right? This is not just a Sunday-only thing. Be in controlling factor in your heart. So let the peace of God be in controlling factor of my heart. That's my default. My default is peace. My default is not worry. My default is not anxiety. Deciding and setting questions that arise. So let that control your heart. Let God control the way you think about things. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers. And be thankful to God always. So it says that not just that you should be peaceful. It says we are called to peace. Think about that. We are to be the most peaceful people on planet Earth because we have God on our side and he walks inside of us. So in conclusion, you like that? It's time to go. But you know, I really want us to grasp this. I really want to grasp this, you know. I want to encourage every one of us to really try to live like this. Think about how it will change your day, your life. But it starts on a one-by-one, you know, situational thing. So I made up these declarations. So I didn't steal these or borrow them from somebody else. See if they're any good. I mean, it's okay to steal declarations. They're pretty good. The ones we said today are awesome, right? I mean, God is the author of the everything anyway, right? So you're really not stealing anything from a person, right? It's coming from God. Where'd they get it from? They got it from God. So why don't we stand up and say these declarations together, all right? We're going to read these in unison, and we're going to try to get them to take hold of our hearts. So let's start the first one. I know I can trust you to get me out of any and all situations. God can get us out of any situations, and I trust him. Number two, if I trust you, you will direct my path. That's inspired by Proverbs 3:5-7. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. He might direct my path. No, he will direct my path. Now the next one. My anxiety and fear are a result of not trusting you completely. Today, I choose to believe your promises, and I completely trust in you. Completely is the key word there. And last, I trust what God says more than the circumstances around me.